I want to read to you today a few verses from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verses 35 through 38. But before we do that, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer as we come before God and ask Him to speak to all of us today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks for this day, for this church, for the opportunity to be here together, whether in person or online, but for this amazing privilege to be part of your body. Thank you today for this conversation that's taking place between us and you as you greeted us and as we responded in song, as we confessed our sins and as you forgave us. And also as you speak to us through your word. And God, I know that your spirit is the one who makes your word alive. Your spirit is the one who prepares our hearts and our lives to be receptive. And that these words will become more than just words on paper or words spoken by me, because they come from you and they change us. And so I pray that your Spirit will now open our hearts and our minds to help us to hear and also to receive your word and let it transform us. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Matthew 9 verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When was the last time you cried for someone? For something. When was the last time you shed some tears, even if just on the inside? Last year, with all that, you know, was going on in our country and happening, I watched this interview Anderson Cooper had with Harvard professor, Dr. Cornel West. And he said this, and the beautiful thing about tears, Socrates never cries, but Jeremiah does. And so does Jesus. We cry because we care. We're concerned. It's not about political correctness. It's not about self-righteousness. We cry because we are not numb on the inside. So with all that's going on in our world and the pandemic and the politics, and local and international news that are breaking constantly, and all the information that you consume every day, have you maybe become numb on the inside? What I'm asking is, are you still able to have compassion? Are you able to see pain, hardship, struggle, injustice, suffering, the hurt of those around you? Are you able to feel for someone else, moved by what they are going through? Are you able to heal, make right what is wrong, be present, be supportive, be encouraging, be involved? Do you have compassion? Because if there ever was a time for God's people to show compassion, it is now. And it says in verse 36 of our text for today, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. But what is it? I mean, what is compassion? What does it mean to have compassion? When you look into a dictionary, it will say it means feeling sorrow for someone, being sympathetic, being concerned for the welfare of others, having pity and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others, the ability to enter into the suffering of other people. However, the Greek word for compassion in this verse gives us another nuance on compassion. It's as if compassion is connected somehow with the person of Jesus. It's not just what he shows, it's kind of who he is. When Jesus shows compassion, it is more of a divine compassion. And the Greek word here means a twisting pain on the inside. It's an intense emotion, almost the pain of a woman in labor. That's what Jesus felt when he saw the crowds and their needs. So I want to break it down for you into three parts today. Hopefully this will make the meaning of having compassion more real for all of us. And the first part of compassion is the ability to see. To be able to see, to take notice. You know, Jesus, if you think about it, was a busy man. He was on the move constantly. It says in verse 35, Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages, and he taught in the synagogues and preached the good news about the kingdom and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. So he was on the move constantly, and he was teaching and he was preaching and he was healing. But then something happened that caused him here in our text just to stop for a moment. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them because they were worried and helpless. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. When he saw the people, he felt sorry for them. So in the midst of his hectic and crazy life, Jesus paused and he lifted his eyes and he saw the crowds. He saw people whose problems were great. People who didn't know what to do or where to go for help. People who were confused and aimless. People who were hurting and helpless. People who were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus noticed that because he took the time to look around and to actually see. So let me ask you, where are you looking? And do you have the ability to see? Because we have this tendency, you know, toward tunnel vision. And we tend to zero in on our own lives. Our focus is on our own immediate concerns, our own families, our own communities. And it's like we'd never look up and never look out. We don't stop and take the time to see the needs of the world, the needs of the people around us. We fail to notice the outside, and the narrow circle is just our own self-interest. So we don't really see the crowds. We don't notice the masses of people throughout the world or even in our community or city who are in trouble. The people in our community or church who are suffering. I mean, it's easy for us to escape, you know, and block out all the painful realities of human suffering by focusing maybe on entertainment, you know, watching TV instead or looking at our social media feeds constantly. Somehow we manage to spend hours and hours binge watching a series on Netflix. But we can't get ourselves to pause, look out, and see the world around us with its many needs and problems. So compassion has the ability to see, the ability to take time to look at those around us and their needs. And that's what Jesus did. He looked at people and he noticed them. He understood that they were being harassed. He understood that they were hurting, that they were helpless. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And you know, all around us, there are people who are being harassed by a pandemic, by the economy, by politicians, by police brutality, by their so-called friends on social media, by oppressing systems, by their employers, by the way they are treated. There are people today who are hurting. There are people who are helpless. And how you feel about issues and about the world depends a lot on where you're looking. And if you have compassion, you will take notice. You will see those around you are harassed and hurting and helpless. And that's the first part of compassion, this ability to see. And the second part of compassion is the ability to feel. To actually feel something. Jesus didn't only look at the crowds of suffering people, he felt for them as well. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. His heart broke for them. He was moved to have compassion by what he saw. He didn't look at them with disdain and contempt. He didn't say, "Why are you so weak? Why don't you do something for yourself for a change?" He didn't say, what is it that you are complaining about this time? Didn't look at them with eyes of hatred or disgust or anger. Didn't judge them or categorize them or label them. He didn't dismiss or reject them. No, his heart went out to them. He felt for them. He had compassion for them. His inner being reacted powerfully to their plight, and his guts were churning as he saw those suffering people. I don't know what your image of God is like. Maybe you're thinking, you know, he's some distant, unfeeling figure. Some unbending, impersonal force or power. Do you know how Jesus saw God? He saw God as a father whose son had walked away from him and left him, but who stood there on the porch day after day after day looking for him. Waiting for him to come home. And when he saw the boy coming home, he couldn't contain himself and he ran out to throw his arms around him and welcome him back. That's what God is like. He's not impassive, unfeeling, He's compassionate. He's loving. He cares for us. He even suffers for us. So think about it this way. The first thing God feels towards sinners like you and me is not anger. Yes, God is hurt and is offended by our sins because God is holy and God is just. And there is punishment and judgment for those who do not repent. But none of that changes the fact that the first thing that God feels for his lost and suffering children is compassion. And in the same way, Jesus feels for ordinary people like you and me. He has compassion for those of us who are just stumbling along through life, who are in trouble because of wrong choices or bad decisions or just plain moral weakness, who are struggling and suffering, who's hurting because of loss or sickness or loneliness or depression or addiction. His heart goes out to us. And so compassion is to feel for others. You see what's going on in people's lives around you and you feel for that. You have the ability to feel pity, to feel sorry. You're willing to sympathize with the pain of your fellow human beings. See, feel. And here's the third part of compassion. It's the ability to heal. Not only did Jesus see the needs around him, not only did he feel for the people, he did something about it. He displayed compassion by healing those who are sick or were sick. It says in verse 35, Jesus also healed every kind of disease and sickness. And it's what we see all throughout the Gospels, by the way. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and begged him to heal him. And it says in Mark 1:41, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. One time, two blind men were sitting beside the road. And we read in Matthew 20 that when they heard that Jesus was coming their way, they started shouting out to him, have pity on us. Verse 34, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. On another occasion in Luke chapter 7, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial. The mother was a widow. And when Jesus saw her, his heart broke. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And he went on and he raised the son from the dead. Jesus did not only see out of compassion. He did not only feel out of compassion. His compassion moved him to do something. He helped people. Wherever he went, he helped those in need. You see, compassion is the pity that stirs you and me to act, to do something in order to help those who suffer. St. Augustine put it this way, said, what is compassion but a kind of fellow feeling in our hearts for another's misery, which compels us to come to his help by every means in our power. See, feel, heal. So here's something for all of us to reflect on. What can I do to help with the healing of those who are suffering? How can I be present instead of absent? How can I be involved instead of uninvolved? Informed instead of being ignorant? How will compassion move you to see and feel and heal? We cry because we are not numb on the inside. When was the last time you saw something in this world that caused a feeling inside of you that moved you to want to help? Can you feel divine compassion, or have you become numb on the inside? Is your heart capable of going out to those who are harassed, hurting, and helpless? If not, then you may be in need of a heart transplant. You may be in need of a new heart. And God can do that, by the way. Did you know that? He's capable of giving you a heart transplant. He says in Ezekiel 36, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." God will give us a heart that can see and feel and heal, a heart that is moved with compassion. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, you know each and every one of us. You know, even as we hear these words today, what is going on inside of us? What's going on inside of our hearts? Maybe we do have stone, hearts of stone. Maybe we are, or have become numb on the inside, and we've lost the ability to look and see and to feel because of what we see, and to be moved to do something within our own power to help and heal. And God, if that's the case, that my prayer is for myself and for everybody here, that your spirit will change our hearts to be more like Jesus, who saw and felt and healed people. May we as a church, may we as individuals be able to not just focus on our own needs, our own lives, our own privileges, our own blessings, but to, like Jesus, just pause, look up, look out and see the world in need and feel for that and be part of change. That's my prayer for me, for everybody here, and for all of our churches, especially CCD. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.